Cecil, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You're listening to a special edition of the WBH Radio Podcast. I am your host, William Holly. I wanted to get out and connect with one of the rising stars in the sport of boxing.
That's right.
A young man representing Brooklyn by way of Panama. Cessa Rain Man Francis. Cessa, what's up, brother?
What's up, bro? How's everything?
Good, man. How you feeling today?
Feeling great, man. I'm ready to just go train.
Hold on there. We'll get to that soon, man. I'm excited to have you here. We're going to get into a few things. But the first order of business, you got a fight coming up, man. Tell me when. Where is it going down?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I fight March 10th at the New King's Theater on Flatbush.
The New King's Theater?
Yeah.
The recently renovated King's Theater right in the heart of Flatbush, as you mentioned. This is going to be professional fight number one.
Number four. I'm 3-0, two knockouts. You know, I'm going for that 4-0. All
right,
I have that confidence.
Right, so three fights so far. The first fight, you fought in Atlantic City, you fought in Queens twice. So tell me, how does it feel to be fighting in a borough you call home, making your Brooklyn boxing debut at the King's Theater March 10th?
You know, it's crazy. My first pro debut, my first fight, I thought I was fighting in Brooklyn.
Right.
And I was like, nah, man, I'm got to train my heart out. And I went crazy hard.
Right.
And then I got the phone call, hey, oh, you fighting in Atlantic City. I'm like, ah, all right, cool. So, like, when I got the phone call about King's Theater, I got right back on that same mentality that I had my first fight. Oh, nah, you know, yeah, I'm going in.
Right.
I'm going in. So, I mean, Will, you've been in the gym a few times. You see how hard we work. And, yeah, we just doing our thing, man. We just putting the work in.
I got you, man. You definitely got to represent in Brooklyn. Speaking of the training, I know that it takes a lot to get ready for a professional fight. And it's not just a one-man show, right? Specifically, when we're talking about boxing, who was helping to prepare you for this bout March 10th? Who are the guys we could look forward to seeing in your corner?
Of course, you always have my head coach, Francisco Guzman Sr., okay. You know, Theo Gio. That's what we call him in the gym, Theo Gio.
Theo Gio, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, of course, his son, my cousin. You okay. know, our mothers is actually sisters,
right.
Chico, Francisco Guzman Jr.
Okay.
You know, my uncle is married to my mother's sister.
Right.
So it's really a family in the corner.
I got you.
Got it?
So you got family in the corner, right? You got family in your corner. It's great to have family around. But at the end of the day, what's most important is that you have a successful career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What was it about your uncle and your cousin that made you say, you know what? These are the guys that are going to help me achieve everything I want to achieve in the sport of boxing.
Because they don't treat me like family in the boxing gym.
They don't?
They don't treat me like family in the boxing gym. You know, it's no baby. It's no baby in me in the boxing gym.
Okay.
They treat me like, you know, like a regular fighter. When we come out the boxing gym, yeah, we'll talk about family. But inside the gym is straight business. So I noticed that at a young age, he was always on top of me.
Your uncle?
My uncle. And I said, all right, well, he's not really like being all positive. Everything is not positive with him. You know, he tells me when I'm wrong, and I like that. You know, I need that. In order for me to get to that next step in life, I need that person that's going to be hard on me, that's going to be tough on me, and that's my uncle.
Gotcha. Does Theo Gio have any history in the sport of boxing?
Oh, yeah. Theo Gio has 5 world champions.
5 world champions?
5 world champions. I got Beto Sanchez, one of my favorite boxers. A Dominican fighter. Okay. I'm always, you know, talking about him because he was every time I see him in the gym, I'm like, damn, like, I want to be just like him. Now, his son fight also, you know, and it's crazy. You know, I wish him the best. But just his dad, which is... You know, Agapito Sanchez was dope. You know, he had Arturo Gotti.
Oh, your uncle did?
Yeah, he had him. He had Gotti. He was training Gotti down at Gleason's in Brooklyn. You know, he got that rich history of boxing in him, that, you know, that knowledge.
Right.
And it's just great to just be around him, that atmosphere, you know?
That's great to have in the family. Wow, that's impressive. Speaking of the training, one of the most interesting things about the sport of boxing is the amount of dedication and sacrifices that boxers display. Walk me through a typical training day for yourself. When you're in the heart of preparation for a fight, what's a typical training day like?
I wake up early in the morning. You know, it all depends. Sometimes I'm out there 4:30 in the morning. Sometimes I'm out there at 5,
Hold 6. On. The alarm clock goes off at 4:30 in the morning?
yeah, it goes off. Yeah, I mean, I try to avoid it sometimes, but it just keeps going off. So you know, I just put my miles in my 1 hour. After I do that, I'll go back home. You know, eat a little something. I'll rest. I'll be in the gym around 12, train from like 12 to 3. You know, at 3 we go swimming. I include swimming into my workouts. After swimming, I go back home, rest some more, you know, wake up and do it all again, man. I live a boring life. Right, right. I live a boring life. I lost all my girls to the box.
Right. It's crazy. That's the hard work that it takes to be successful.
Absolutely, yeah, dedication.
Now, I want to ask you, when that alarm clock goes up at 4:30, I know you want to hit the snooze button, mm-hmm. but you don't. You continue to get up and push and try to be successful. I want to ask you why. You know, what's the motivation? What are you looking to get out of the sport of boxing?
It's not what I'm looking for, no, to get out of boxing, but it's, I got family looking after me, right. You know, and that's the most important to me, my family. It's like, they got to eat, right. And I got to provide, you know, because I never met my father.
Right.
So at a young age, like, my mother installed into my head, like, listen, you're going to be the man of the house. Right. So you're going to have to hold us down. And I never stopped. You know, she's the most important person to me, and I'm gonna show her that. I'm gonna just make her stop working soon.
Gotcha.
You know? Her alarm be going off 6:30 in the morning. So why can't mine go off at 4:30?
Right.
You know, if she can't wake up and go to work, why can't I just get up and just go to work before her? You know, one day her alarm's gonna stop, mine's gonna continue. I gotta make sure she stop working.
Gotcha.
I'm on it.
So when you guys are in the gym, what's that looking like? You how many times during the training camp, do you spar?
So we spar 3 times a week. We spar Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Right.
You know, 3 times a week we do around, you know, it depends. This training camp, we sparred 6 to 8 rounds.
Right.
Because we was actually helping another fighter for his fight, and he was fighting 10 rounds, so we was giving him about 8.
Okay.
But that's just how it goes. You know, we go in the gym, we spar on those specific days. The other days, we train hard, you know.
Boxing, they call it the sweet science. At this stage of career, I'm sure it's about getting better every day. Each day in the gym, each day that you're training. As you go into your 4th professional fight, what do you say is the biggest thing you learned over these last 3 professional fights?
I would have to say just having dedication, really, really being dedicated to your craft. Like, as long as you're dedicated, you'll go far. That's one thing I really learned. I'm like, when I was playing around, nothing was really coming out for me. But then I'm like, I really locked in. And I'm like, wow, like, this is really good. Like, once you start putting in that work, you actually get, you know, you get those results. And it feels great to get those results, those wins.
Right. I want to go back to the beginning. I want the audience to know I've known Cesar for some time now.
Facts.
He was just a young high school kid running around worrying about what high schoolers worry about.
Facts.
And I heard that he was of Panamanian descent. But it wasn't until I walked into the gym and seen you interacting with your uncle and your cousins, I saw how rich that family tradition is. Now, you were actually born in Panama, correct?
Yeah, so we from San Miguelito, Panama. You from San Miguelito, you represent all mi gente.
Right, right. So how was it growing up in Panama?
It was great. It was fun. It was just tough.
Right.
It was tough. And I'm actually glad they moved me here to the States.
Okay.
You know, because...
How many years did you spend in Panama?
About 8 years.
Okay, and it was tough out there.
It was tough, yeah. You know, it was tough. It was tough. I'm glad I'm here.
Okay.
You know, my grandfather, you know, he brought us here to America. And
what was tough about the upbringing in Panama?
yeah, I mean, now it's a little better.
Right.
But
you was just a young man running around?
Roots. Yeah, it's just, you know, running around, you know, no chancletas on. you know how that go. Yeah. We was poor.
Right.
We was poor, and it made it hard for us.
Right.
And, you know, of course, anyone could tell you when you don't really have it, life just gets hard.
Right.
You know? So that was real. That's where the hard part came from.
Okay.
Just not really having it, not really being able to just eat certain nights.
Right.
You know, and it made it harder for us.
Okay.
So that's, when I say, yeah, Panama was tough, I'm just talking about like our way of living,
right.
not Panama as you know itself, because the place is a beautiful place.
Right.
I want to go back right now, right. If I can, but just the way we just live, it was poor.
Now transitioning to a whole different country, that couldn't have been easy as well, man. How was it when you first got here to America?
It was crazy because when I first came here, I tried to communicate with people, and they wasn't really understanding me.
Right.
That pissed me off. That got me mad that they wasn't really understanding me. I'm like, yo, como que tú no entiendes? How you don't understand what I'm saying? Like, how can you not understand what I'm saying? And that made me beat people up too.
Wow.
You know, I was just always fighting. it's crazy because like I'm on my way on a plane to America. I'm thinking, all right, cool. When I get there, people's gonna understand me.
Right.
I'm like, oh, they don't even understand what I'm saying. Nah. You know, so but it was good now, you know.
So you were fighting from an early age.
I was fighting, yeah. So, like, back home, you know, the dudes on the block, the older guys, just they was bored.
Right.
They was bored, so they'll see the young kids just walking around and be like, oh, you know what? You and you, fight right now.
Right.
5 cents. 5 cents. 10 cents. I'm like, what? Word? 10 cents? You know what I can do with 10 cents? Oh, yeah. What's up? Yeah, let's go.
Right.
You know? And it just became an everyday thing. I started getting like happy off of it.
Okay.
I'm like, oh yeah, I hope these boys is out there so I can get my 10 cent. Sometimes I'll just stay out like from the house, out the window, just looking like, oh yeah, they out there. Yeah, let me see who out there today. And they'll bring somebody for me.
Right.
Man, boxing was always in my blood. They used to call me Lil Mike Tyson. I was skinny. I don't know how they got the Lil Mike Tyson, but right. I was always like a skinny guy, you know?
Got you. So listen, so we got the history. Your uncle is a revered trainer in Panama. You're a young man fighting in the streets, fighting for your life, fighting for nickels and dimes. When did it start to become more organized? When did you start to put the vision together? Like, you know what? We're going to get on the professional track and make a career out of this.
So I was still young watching him go to the gym. That's when we came to America.
Yes.
That's the first place we lived. We lived with my uncle.
Okay.
My uncle and, you know, his wife, my aunt. And I would just watch him every day, just go to the gym. I'm like, damn, I think I want to go with him. Mm-hmm. You know, I miss fighting. Because back home, I was fighting every day. I'm like, there's no more fighting no more. I miss fighting. So I said, all right, listen, let me come with you to the gym. Yeah, all right, come. So me and my little cousin, his daughter, Nuti, we'll go to the gym. You know, we'll hit the bag. And at the same time, I was still having fun, like, you know, just growing up, just being a kid, just growing up. I wasn't really into it that much, you know, but I always loved the sport.
Right.
So as I got older, I told my mom, like, Ma, like, I think I really, really want to fight. I really, really want to box.
Right.
She's like, you serious? Because if you serious, I'll take you to him right now. And I told him, like, you serious?
Okay.
I said, yeah. So she said, all right, cool. Let's go down to the gym. So we went down to the gym.
Right.
We met my uncle, you know, met up with him. I told him, listen, I'm serious. He's like, you sure? Because, you know, I took you to the gym before. You wasn't serious.
Right.
I'm like, nah, I am. I'm serious. I want to fight. And, like, it was history from there. Like, okay. I just started fighting.
Right. So walk me through the process of what it takes to be a professional. So you're in the gym training.
Right.
Okay, so when did you guys start to put some bouts together? What happens first? I think it's an amateur career, correct?
It was amateurs. You just, you know, just call up some people.
Right.
They'll put up fights together depending on the weight, the age, and you just fight.
Okay.
You know, so those kind of fights, those kind of fights is easier. Because
okay.
You just fight, boom, whatever, 1 minute, three rounds, or one, however it used to be. We was just racking up. We was just fighting everywhere.
Right.
They'll call us, oh, we're going to Long Island. We're going to Staten Island. We're going to, you know, it depends. Florida, you know, anywhere. We was fighting anywhere. We was in the amateurs.
Right.
So those bouts was a little easier. Now in the pros, it's a lot more, you know, to it.
Right.
It's a lot more to it. You have no headgear, so you have to be careful. You have to be smarter. You know, you're not throwing just points. You're not throwing punching points, because in the amateurs, it was like they had the little points where you're just pointing. The judges are taking points.
Yes.
In the pros, it's a lot tougher. You know, you got to win those judges.
Okay.
So.
Now, as an amateur, did you roll straight into a professional career? Were there ever breaks in your boxing career?
Yes. So we took a break. We took a break in 09.
Okay.
And that was for me to go to school.
Right.
You know?
Where'd you end up going?
I went to Morgan State University down in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
And, you know, we was down there. You know, I went to school. And while I was there.
How did your uncle, first, how did your uncle take the news when you said you wanted to take a break?
Oh, go.
He was up for it.
Well, once I said it dealt with school.
Yes.
He was like, yeah, school comes first. But he didn't really want me to go down all the way to Baltimore. He was like, yeah, why you just don't go to school like in Brooklyn, like right. out here? There's so many schools out here. And I'm like, nah, I think I want to go down to Baltimore, okay. Maryland. Because at the same time, I was still boxing, but I was still getting into trouble.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, nah, I got to get away. Like, right. I'm not going to let him know this because right. if I let him know I'm getting into trouble in the streets, he won't want me boxing. Because okay. remember, it's all about discipline in the gym.
That's right.
That's number one thing. It's all about discipline. If he sees you doing something wrong, you out of there. A homie came into the gym yesterday. He was high. My uncle said, I ain't training you no more.
Right.
Because it's discipline. Why are you coming into the gym high?
Gotcha.
You know? I mean, I ain't do it, but I'm saying just an example.
Just an example, okay.
Yeah. So,
You down there in Baltimore.
I was down
Morgan
there.
Morgan State.
I was down there, Baltimore, Morgan State, and I was still boxing. I was going to a gym down there. It was, I think it was, it was called Lock Raven Boxing Gym. I'm still down there. Still being, you know, putting hands on people. And, I got the phone call that things wasn't really going too well with my mom's hair.
Back here in New York.
Back here in New York. She needed my help. And I knew she needed my help, but she didn't want to tell me she needed my help. So you know what? I said,
You could just tell from the phone call her vibe.
I could tell. I already knew. And I knew there was schools up here in Brooklyn that I could go to and finish off. Right. So I said, you know what? I'm going to come back to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I did. I came back here. And once I came back here, I jumped right back into amateurs.
Right.
I met my uncle in the gym. I told him, listen, I went to school. You told me you go to school. You told me follow what you say. I went to school. Now what? What you gonna do for me?
What did he think when you showed up? How was that meeting?
He was like, yo, oh, you here? Oh, okay, let's go. You went to school, right? I said, yeah, I went to school. I did exactly what you want me to do. Right. He said, all right, cool. You fight next week.
Gotcha.
They put me in an amateur show right back.
Right.
I fought in the Bronx, I believe. I think it was the Bronx. From there, we had a few other fights. Then we went into the Golden Gloves that same year when I came back. First year, came back into the Golden Gloves. They see me beating everybody. I ranked up. Went all the way to the semifinals of the Golden Gloves that year. He like, wow, for you to just come back one year and just go all the way to the semifinals, you got something.
Right.
It's something you was still doing.
Okay.
You know, they didn't know I was still out there training, though. You know?
Right.
So, That's just how it went.
That's amazing. So, okay, fast forward. Now here we are, your professional career, fighting March 10th at the King's Theater.
Right.
Your fourth professional fight. Now, as I look at the flyer, I see it's promoted by Real Deal Boxing. Yeah. Now, when you're talking about the sport of boxing and the name Real Deal, there's only one name that comes to mind. That's the great Evander Holyfield, former heavyweight champion of the world, Boxing Hall of Famer. How did you cross paths with Evander Holyfield?
Oh, man. Great guy. Very, very nice guy. So how it happened was my manager, Felipe Gomez, he works with a guy named Kevin. Kevin works under Real Deal Boxing. So Real Deal, that's exactly how I got plugged in. You know, I got plugged in through Kevin and Felipe.
Okay.
And I'm glad for that, man. It's great people. They really have my back. You know, in the sport of boxing, like, you need good people around you. And I knew once I turned pro that I would go with them. I knew I wanted to sign with Felipe because I knew he was just a good guy.
So what was that first meeting like with the former heavyweight champion?
It's crazy. I met him in the back. I met him backstage. Some dude was trying to record him, right?
Right.
It's a funny story. Some dude was trying to record him. And they was just asking him questions like, yeah, so, like, what you think about the fights tomorrow? He was like, come over here, man. He grabbed me up. He's like, come over here. Yo, tell this dude, man. I don't got no answers, man. I knew he was dope from there. He was like, yo, listen, like, you tell this dude about the fights tomorrow. Right. And that's when I got on camera and I was speaking for him.
Right.
I guess he ain't want to speak too much about the fights. I'm like, yeah, listen, like, you should come to see the fights tomorrow. Boom, boom, boom. And just went like that. But dope dude, though. Dope dude. Nice guy. That's nice guy. Cool. Him and his wife, man.
That's cool. That's cool.
I mean, one time he invited me to dinner. I think it was brunch. It must have been brunch, yeah. And he was like saying, like, wow, man, like, you're really composed in there. He's like, really, like, you took some hits and you just, it's like you ain't take nothing. You was just calm, you stayed patient, and you placed your punches and you got that guy out of there. And it just felt good for Evander Holyfield to be telling me that. I'm like, wow, like, wow, a legend is talking to me. He's telling me this, and I'm like, oh, no, I got to keep going. It's no stopping me from here. Like, I got to keep going, you know? When you have good people like that that's watching, you know, they got an eye out for you. It makes you even want to go harder, you know?
Oh, yeah, son, the green light from the former heavyweight champion of the world.
Absolutely.
That's got to be confidence building. Now, you mentioned that the sport of boxing can be tough to navigate. We've seen that from the outside. Many boxers have come and gone, and it's been a struggle at times. I want you to talk to me about, how do these fights get made? You know, what does your camp look like? Are you strictly a real deal fighter? Like, how does that work?
So, my fights get made through my my manager and promoter.
Who's that? Your manager?
My manager, Felipe Gomez.
Okay.
He find the fighters.
Right.
Well, I'm not really sure how him and Kevin do it, how they work it out. But whenever Real Deal is having a show,
right,
they book me in the slot. They throw me in the slot because I'm Kevin's fighter.
Okay.
You know, he's looking out for his fighter, but also, you know, bringing money to his promotion, to the promotion he works with.
Right.
I'm going to sell tickets, you know, and I think that's where it's going. I believe it's all about ticket sales,
right,
you know,
right.
As is my opinion. Right. You can have all the skills in the world, you don't sell no tickets, no one want to see you.
Right.
Which is sad. It's sad in the game of boxing. But that's just how fights come about. You know, you go through the manager, the promoter talks to the manager, they'll book you, they'll find the fighter, and they'll book the slot for you, and you're fighting.
Got you. I'm here with Cesar Rain Man Francis, fighting March 10th at the King's Theater. Now, Cesar, you've been able to win fights in a variety of ways. I've seen you go the distance and be able to earn a decision. You've stopped fighters early in fights. How would you describe your fighting style to somebody who's never seen you?
Patient style. I'm pin a million. I got the pin a million style. I don't know how to put it, man.
Right.
I just got a pin a million style of fighting. I don't really know how to call it.
So
just,
patience.
I'm a smart fighter. That's all.
Can you bring some power as well?
That's natural, baby. Right. That's natural. The power's natural. Listen, I have a style that my uncle created in me. And I just run with it. It's just different. Everyone that comes to the gym, they always say, "Oh, Sasa, different.
Right?
He's different. You know, just be careful for him."
So, I know in the sport of boxing, you gotta take some licks at time.
You gotta take some licks.
You ever been? You ever been hurt in the ring?
I've never been hurt. You know, I've been hit where I'm like, "Oh, okay, okay, nice hit." Now, you know, I took yours. Can you take mine? You know, I like that. That's the game of boxing. You got to get hit.
I want you to talk to me about how important it is for you to carry on your homeland's legacy and continue that legacy. I've seen you wear the colors in the ring, man. How does it feel donning your colors?
It's great, man. It's just the roots. The Panamanian roots go real far. And I'm not going to stop just in the boxing ring.
Right.
I really, really want to bring back to my peoples, you know, to really show them that I appreciate the country. You know, and what you guys build.
Right.
Because they're the reason why I'm like this today.
Gotcha.
I fight for my flag. You see when I'm fighting, I always bring my flag, in, you know, in the ring. Because this is the pride. Understand? Gotcha. America, of course, is a good country, too.
Yeah.
But Panama is where I'm from. Panama is what I represent.
Gotcha. Take me inside the locker room before the fight.
Music, laughs.
You like the energy?
I like the energy. We're laughing back there. We're dancing. We're just having fun. You know, my uncle is being funny. Like, he's always being funny.
How about that walk to the ring? What are you thinking about?
Confidence. I won.
Already?
Yeah, I won. I win before my fights. You know, I can't come in there with a mentality that, oh, I'm nervous or shit. Like, this is going to be a tough fight. Nah. I'm coming in to have fun. That's one of the first things my uncle tells me when I'm walking out there. He goes, "Listen, go perform. Go perform. Go show them what you was doing, or how hard you was working and why you was working so hard. Because at the end of the day, it's the training that builds my confidence. That's why I'm so happy when I'm walking to the ring. So, you know, I'm smiling at everyone because it's actually the training.
Because you feel like you've already prepared.
I prepared myself strong enough. It's nothing that this guy's going to do to me that's going to stop me from winning this fight. You got to have that confidence. I'm not a cocky person. I'm extremely humble. Well, you know me, you know, but I'm just confident, and I'm just keep being confident, you know, keep smiling. Don't let nobody break that smile or break that energy that I come with. So that's just I walk into the ring. I'm just smiling. I see my mom's. You know she going crazy already. Once I see she going crazy, I got to turn up.
Right.
You know, and then she gets crazy as the rounds go.
Got you. So when we talking about the training, the business, family, like what's the hardest part of the journey right now at this stage of career? What's the most challenging part?
I would have to say the money.
Right.
I have talent. I know I do. To make a lot of money, but right now it's not there yet. You know, I just gotta stay humble and just keep working hard. I'll make it. Understand? It's hard when I can't feed everyone, and I want to feed everyone. I want to see everyone, you know, living good. It's not about the cars or the houses. It's just I want to see everyone good, and it's hard right now because right. we don't have that coming in, but we will.
So you still have to box, and in the meantime, real life is taking place outside.
Exactly.
Of that.
I still have to do my own thing outside of boxing. Still have to, you know, sometimes I train people, show them how to fight. You know, even though I'm doing what I like to do, so I feel confident doing what I have to do. But yeah, it's a job outside of boxing. I'm still, you know, personal training. But at the same time, that's not really what I want to do. I don't want to do that. You know, until then, I'll keep working hard.
I got you. We're going to see your fourth fight, March 10th, at the King's Theater. You're currently 3-0.
Right.
So when that referee grabs your arm, puts it in the air, and says, winner, Cesar Rainman Francis, man, what's the first thing that goes through your mind?
Yes. Yes. Now, what else? Now, who else? Let's keep going. There's no stopping there. Right. Why stop now? Nah, there's no stopping. I'm going to keep going.
Gotcha.
I'm going to just keep chasing it. Yes, we won. We came here to win. Okay, we got it. Now, what's next? What's the next fight?
That's it.
Yeah,
keep pushing forward.
Keep pushing forward. I told you I need my family to be good.
We not stopping to smell any roses?
We nah. It's none of that. We'll do that later at the end of the career. Let's keep going. There's more to get.
More to get. There you have it. March 10th is going down at King's Theater.
Absolutely. Yep.
Cesar Rainman Francis making his Brooklyn boxing debut.
Uh-huh. Come grab your tickets, man.
All right. That's WBH Radio. I'm William Holly. We out.